Good morning. Today's Thursday, September 16. It's the 9 a.m. Josephine County Board of Commissioners Administration, County Administration Workshop. And first on our agenda, we have legal counsel, order number 2016-041.
Yes, so this is the BMX lease, as the agenda indicates. After substantial negotiation, the parties have come to agreement, and we have obtained two copies of signed leases from BMX that will be presented to you next Wednesday for consideration and signature. And as to the particulars of this, I'll turn over to Mike, who's been handling this as the property manager.
Well, this has gone back and forth on a tiny little details for quite a long time. Finally, we've brought the lease to a position where both parties are in agreement. The previous lease that we had with BMX was for a value of 30% of their concessions, which, quite frankly, ended up being less than $1,000 a year. This new lease begins at $300 a month. It does not begin until after they have run their first race. However, since they are now not up and running, their track needs to be moved, the dirt needs to be moved, they're bringing in a professional to build this BMX track. And once they get up and running, the following first of the month, they will begin paying $300 a month. And then on September 1st of 2018, that goes to $350 a month and runs for the next 2 years.
When is the expected
first race to be run? It's going to depend a great deal upon the weather. If they can get their track built before the rains begin, then it will be sooner. If it is delayed because of the rains, they can't build a track in with the rain. It has to be dry soil and dry pack. Then it wouldn't probably be until the spring.
So we're anticipating the possibility of having 6-7 months without any income off that property.
That is entirely possible. And part of that too, keep in mind the road work that's going on at Allen Creek is going to cut right straight through where their previous track was. So there really is no opportunity aside from that.
Maybe even to get in there.
Right. Right.
They're going to take Pansy Lane Road out, and that'll be a mess for 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay, we can just run BMX out there on landfill. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I already do.
Heck, that's where we used to run our bikes. It's a long land. A lot of little hills.
There was the consideration of the amount of, like, there was an in-kind contribution by the BMXers to do some work.
Yes, within the body of this lease, that is correct. There is a provision for them to provide volunteer work services to the fairgrounds, whether it be assisting with some minor painting or some landscaping work. That's an agreement that's worked out between Peggy, the fairgrounds manager, and the BMX folks. And it's fairly scheduled within the provinces.
The $300 a month goes to the fairgrounds?
Yes.
There's no current lease being operated or provided to the fairgrounds on the land that they're going to be using. So it's not as though there's an opportunity cost lost with that land not being leased. We wouldn't lease it to probably anybody else that we talked to, maybe the RV place, but it's not secure. You know, so they'd have to have a secure place. So talking about lost revenue, there is a revenue stream, but it's, like you said, right now it's like $1,000 a year. Once this goes into place, there'll be actual tangible revenue streams you can count on every month.
And even the money from concessions will stop because of the road work, which requires the tearing
down. There's probably no concessions right now.
Right.
Okay.
They can put a coffee stand out on the corner there. Oh.
Yeah.
Make coffee off the construction workers, make money. Okay.
Okay.
No, I just said any further comments.
When is that going to shut what they're using right now? When are they going to shut that down? Do you have any idea?
I don't know if the work is scheduled.
I know that the contract's been let, construction started. They're gonna demo the track and move that dirt, and then it's gonna sit there until they can get that professional in to build it. Right. I don't think they have to wait for. I mean, they could definitely get the person in there to build the track, even if they couldn't use it because they couldn't have regular public ingress and egress that hasn't been built yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they could build the track and make that deadline of the good weather, and then it would be there
mm-hmm.
when the construction is complete. Yeah. I can find out from Rob when that is going to be, what that schedule is.
Yeah, I mean, the only concern is because right now there is no... You cannot plan on $300 as of March 1st or whatever. Because theoretically you'd be, I'm just overstating, August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that, and there is money that is coming, theoretically, to the fairgrounds on the current lease that the BMX is using.
Only so long as they're able to continue running. Once that track gets mm-hmm. torn, of course, there's no concession.
Yeah. Left. Right. I mean, the concession is that big of a deal, as you say. But just being able to use it to run on it. It would be nice to have some idea of when
right.
the
yeah, we'll find out.
Renewal of money inflow would be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, you know, Peggy has been part of this entire negotiation, so she's aware that we have to wait until they get running before we can get revenue.
Okay.
That address all your concerns, Commissioner?
Well, not on the whole thing. On the option to renew, the font that they use on the notes, is the county able not to continue the lease? Because the wording in the option to renew seems to be that the lease, if they want to renew it, the county must comply with that for another 3-year period of time. So the lessee shall have the option to renew this lease. Can the county say we don't want to renew the lease?
Typically, our language is such that we can. Well, there's clauses to
terminate
within the language here. I mean, that's
the government always retains that option for terminating.
Exactly. We've got 18, section 18.
Well,
I can give you one
example. Every lease I've ever seen it did. But
well, I can show you a lease right here of the All Sports Park or Sportsman's Park.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that option.
Yeah, well, who was commissioner then?
It's not in everyone, like it's in everyone.
It should have been in that one.
Again, to my question, do we have?
Yes.
Under line 18 termination. 18-1 is mutual consent. 18-2 is for convenience. This agreement may be terminated by either party upon 90 days written notice.
Yeah. Okay, so theoretically, we could notify them in March that in 90 days, regardless where the lease is ended.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the 3-year, yeah, or terminated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just to reiterate, there is an expectation that this lease agreement is for 3 years.
Right. So yeah.
It would have to.
Oh, yeah.
So major, you know, something happened, this isn't working out. But otherwise, after the 3 years.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And that was the issue after the 3 years. Yeah. But so if it's going to end on July 1st, for instance, we could start May 1st. And give them the 90 days or whatever. Okay.
Well, I think they understand that. I mean, that's why this was an agreement for 3 years, with the consideration that this is probably not the best location for them long term. And I think they understand that, too. It's a pretty good location for 3 years, sure, but if there's a better and higher use for that parking lot in the future,
mm-hmm.
We have other county pieces of the property that we'd be happy to try to, you know, relocate them to. I'm thinking of the one over on Demaree by RCC. And we've talked about the idea of putting, you know, an airsoft or whatever we call paintball facility out there, and we got to get these disc golf things right out of the campgrounds at Indian Mary and other places, and then you could put the BMX track. I mean, it could be an all very low intensity on the landscape, but a place where people could just go and do what they want to do of that same kind of like age group, yeah. And it could be perfect.
That being
we've got 40 acres.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there airsoft stuff? I mean,
there's people that are
still your age
that are doing airsoft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Maybe not your age.
What is the company got there right now? What is the comparability of land size? What they have right now? How many feet is this, what they have?
This is approximately 175 feet by 410
yeah,
feet.
And what do they have right now? What are they?
Identical.
It's identical. Okay, that was my question.
Yes. That's the fencing perimeter. That is the same.
And on number three, general purpose, because the lessees shall immediately notify lessor of any incidents involving any injuries or damage. Do we have any history of their compliance with that in the past, or is this
to my knowledge, we have not had an issue with this in the past, and they are carrying liability insurance as well. To the possibility of an injury.
Obviously, the sport itself is...
Right? Are they going to tell us every time some kid scratches his knee?
Oh, no, I'm not worried about scratching his knee, but running to the fence post and denting the forehead. I'm assuming it would be some
in our
fence post.
The insurance is actually much higher than requirement is much higher than that of any other standard building because of the nature of the sport. It's a $2 million liability insurance policy, whereas normally we ask for a $1 million liability policy.
Okay. And all that, I'm assuming all that is in action right now. I mean, as far as the policies go and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Working down my list.
We used to have a standard liability insurance of $1 million, but it's growing over time, and I don't think our average is $1 million anymore. It's moving up every year.
There are more and more instances.
More and more where we're requiring more and more insurance.
And you're saying that they've already, above the required minimum, as far as the county's concerned.
7.2 is the...
They have been carrying $2 million liability insurance all along.
Yeah.
Are we also lost payee on that?
We are.
Thank you.
Under 9.2, the lessee may construct improvements that may be necessary for the including landscaping. However, the lessee shall obtain consent of the lessor prior to any such construction, fencing, or landscaping. Do we have any history of that being done? And my only concern is that has there been compliance with that in the past, or have they just improved whatever, put up another 20-foot pile of dirt or whatever? Have we had any compliance, history of compliance with them on the fairground?
Unknown. However, BMX track has been there greater than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now in regards to their new track, the city, as I understand it, is providing them with new fencing and landscaping as well.
Okay. I toured it 4 or 5 years ago with that kind of a thing to look at what had been done. I don't think anything has changed. Those buildings that are out there are mobile. They're not even affixed. So I can't see anything in my mind that has changed out there because I just drove past there recently. So I would say yes. I don't think they've changed anything in the 4 or 5 years that I've been here. I don't know if you've ever walked around.
Oh, yeah.
On the tour of the...
Well, I have not walked the whole round.
I walked around because we redid that Panby house on the other side, and so I walked that fence line and been all out there. And I don't think they've done anything. It seems the same.
Okay.
I do want to, on that point, there is a certain element of history because BMX, but then there's a new administration, there's a new board of directors there, and I think that's a big consideration that we taking into it. So they seem very diligent. One of the positive things to me, Mike, Peggy, all the members of the BMX, they seemed reasonable in wanting to find an accommodation. And I think, frankly, this $300 is where I was kind of thinking that's the middle ground where they were picking seven and then they were maybe an average of two or something like that in the month they were working. It seemed like that was a reasonable place in the middle, and it seems like they've come together and are working quite cooperatively with the fairgrounds in this effort. We've got buy-in from the city. Obviously, the county is proposing to move the dirt for them. It feels like a much tighter partnership than it's ever been before.
Well, I know with the new administration that there is a difference as far as reciprocity goes. So. They, in the wintertime, I mean, they have been using an indoor area. Is that is not part of this at all?
No, no. The indoor track was canceled, perhaps a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And Peggy has repurposed the use of that indoor space. In fact, during negotiations, last-minute negotiations, they had asked about, hey, can we rent during the winter? Because they're worried about their membership. You know, they can't keep those kids riding bikes. There's a potential to lose interest. So they really wanted to get in there, and Peggy shared that she already has dedication to other parties to use those spaces.
Yeah, income-producing dedication.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of the chafing the sore a little bit when they were offered, $1,000 a month by BMX to rent that indoor track.
Yes, and I think that was a desperation move in order to keep their membership active. That's my take on that move.
Yeah, so when you put the comparability of them swallowing $300 a month, being offered $1,000 a month, and the BMX can't pay $750 a month for the track, yeah, that was an additional.
I think their argument was the competitive nature. There is no alternative to an indoor track in Southern Oregon, south of Eugene, maybe even more farther north. But there's a lot of opportunities for BMX in the summertime when everybody, you know, everybody's got a patch of dirt, they can throw some mobiles on and call it a BMX track. But this one's professionally done. It's not somebody's dozer project on the weekend in the backyard. It's a good track, and it's got the right gate and all that stuff. So
no, it's just
that makes kind of.
It was just the idea of not having money.
And all of a sudden,
now they have money, and that was a pill for them to have to double swallow. Okay. I'd be done.
Okay. Any more questions, comments, concerns we need to go? All right. Then we shall move this forward. All right.
Hold on. Just one before you. As far as this new administration, which I think is positive, the nonprofit status of that is all up to date. I know that on the nonprofit reports and stuff, they were tardy. They have not filed on time, this kind of thing. That has been historical. Is also done this recently too, they did get all the materials in, but that's not an issue as far as the nonprofit current status and that kind of thing.
They are in nonprofit status, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And there is actually a different property I think you may be thinking of that we did have an issue with, but not this one.
No, I'm not saying this one. This one here, like I said, they are current. But when you go back and look at the historical of the BMX group itself, it's been rather problematic filing with the state and the reports and that kind of. They've had several warnings issued to them. This new group changing over, and I can see how there might have been, you know, the process of getting to that, making sure you get all your paperwork into the state. That was not done until they had received a letter of inquiry, a letter of warning. It was filed, and so they are, everything is current, so to speak, and they're all satisfied as far as the state goes. But that's with this new regime, I'm hoping that will not continue to have the same problems. Because this is a nonprofit, and that's the whole reason that we can support this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them
continue with their rather up and down in the past would not be good.
Well, you've got me to watch dog.
Yeah, yeah. That's, and that's better than we had in the past, like, and that's appreciated. I'd be done for real this time.
You're done for real now?
I'm done for real.
Okay. All right. Very good. And we shall...
And thank you for all of the work you did all this, and everybody's satisfied.
Absolutely.
So, Commissioner, here we're all amenable to moving this forward.
Sure.
All right. Item B, order number 2016-040 in the matter of a determination as to a dog impounded in the authority of ORS.
Is the schedule amended just to accommodate Mr. Watson? He's got a couple others.
Does he have others on here?
Yeah, he's got C.
And D.
And maybe D. Yeah, D2.
Both. Yeah, he's got three out of four today.
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, I think I know he does, but since you weren't at the hearing, Commissioner Heck and I on this one.
Oh, it's quick.
Did you read that decision, Commissioner Heck?
And I did.
Okay, so we'll just move it forward to, let's just move it to a consent calendar.
Well,
okay.
Have to move it to an
admin. There's money involved,
yes,
there.
Yeah.
And Simon will speak to it?
Yes, and Simon will speak to that one.
And then the hearing?
And then the dog hearing, we'll just put that on consent.
You have to put it on admin. Vote against it, so...
Well, it's a quasi-judicial type hearing, so why do we have to put it on admin?
Because I can't vote for it.
I know you can't. Yeah, all you have to do is abstain when we go to...
No, I'm not abstaining from the consent calendar because of one item.
No, you can abstain from one item.
We've
done it.
We have the consent calendar of the block.
Mm-hmm. But I can separate it out. Okay, let's put it on the admin.
And you'll
I try to
it?
Avoid that. But
pardon?
You'll speak to it? I'll speak to it. Quickly. Well, it's a quasi-judicial, so... Okay. Item C.
Okay.
Order number, that's the 2016-037 county-owned property, county forest park.
Yes, and we've done the bulk of the presentation on this in the past, so we can cover that now, you know, at the board's discretion. We'll just basically say that this is the designation and then immediately thereafter alienation of the listed properties. And
which is item 1D.
That's correct. Yeah, that's going to be the alienation. So we're doing them in that particular order when you get into the hearing on or the meeting on hearing on Wednesday. It's been advertised in the newspaper, and Mr. Watson has actually received a number of inquiries based upon the newspaper ad. And it's if time permitting, if you're interested in hearing what some of the inquiries are, the nature of what the citizen interest is, then this is a good chance for him to.
One property of concern, and I'm sure that Mr. Watson knows that property. Has there been a letter to you from the church?
I have not received a letter from the church.
Okay.
Well, most of the inquiries I have is individuals wondering, why are we alienating these? Are we intending to sell all of these properties? And the resounding answer is no. This is more of a step that is required if we were to choose to sell a previously tax foreclosed property. It has to go through this public hearing process in order to be available to be sold. The auction that we held on June 16th this year, all of those properties had been alienated or else they could not have been sold. So this is a process that is required with a tax foreclosed property if we wish to convey it, trade it, sell it, give it,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think the word is probably not understood by a lot of people, the definition of the alienation. It's not a context in which they've heard it before.
Right. There are a number of properties in this list that I know that the county would not be willing to sell. These foreclosures have gone all the way back to 1930.
Oh, really?
So this is almost more of a housekeeping measure than anything else.
Mm-hmm. The problem is that there's both ones that we want to keep,
right,
and ones that we want to sell. And
yeah,
for the public to know the distinction, I can't look at this list and tell you, and I'm just not as knowledgeable as Mr. Watson,
right,
obviously, but getting there. It just takes time. You know, it's under the jurisdiction of parks planning. It needs to be removed from the jurisdiction of public works. Historically, when we had super departments, we had four of them, a lot of these properties were designated as public works because that's where the property manager resided and was housed. So it's, it's a miscategorization, and so we're changing that up. And they don't all have to be designated for alienation, because alienation could go back to the different taxing districts without a designation. We don't do that here, so we want to designate everything as something, either parks or forestry under the state statute. That's what we're doing. So
okay.
That's
not a problem.
Done in that order of designation and alienation. We'll get it done. This is not the last of the designations or alienation.
No.
Right.
How many hundred?
Most of the alienation. Must have come across something.
Yeah.
The other thing is when we get offers or we hear of offers, I think it's important that we try to maintain them as anonymous as possible. So Mr. Watson's going to work to make sure that they're designated as offer A, B, and C, or so they'll label this on a personal piece of property so that we don't, particular piece of property, so we don't have a, we're completely unbiased in making the determination of valuability or value or price. I think that's pretty important.
Do we have a sale date for the next sale? I think we do, don't we?
First week in October is our goal.
In October?
In November.
November?
First week in November.
Yeah,
first week
30
in
days ahead. We can target first week in November.
Okay.
This is the first week of
this is second week of September, I think, currently.
So are you processing that one that was the trust one? Good. Yeah, that money. Well, just so people understand too, that money doesn't come to us. That's
right.
Not ours.
Yeah, it was through a deed, and it was bequeathed to the county for the purpose of funding library. So the money goes to the library per deed.
So this is one of the things that I found when I was talking to Arthur. He was telling me about the trust and some of the stuff that we had in there, and it's like, what are we doing with this? You know, we got a property manager. Let's let him get rid of it for us. And that way, I mean, it's not our money anyway, but it's a liability for us because of the deed.
Right.
So, you know, let's get the money where it belongs.
Yeah. And as I've explained to a number of the individuals that called me, it's our goal to minimize risk both to the county and to the public.
Uh-huh.
Within the county, and those are the properties that we're going to target for sale first.
Yeah.
If it's a parcel that is continually a dumping zone for individuals, or it's got a history of transient population that causing problems for neighbors, those are the properties we're going to target to remove from the county roll and get them in the hands of qualified owners first.
Because the owners will look after them. You know, when it's in the public domain, it's like a free for all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it ends up costing the county if we are constantly cleaning it up.
Well, and not accusing you of this, but it is often true that in the mind of the folk, if it's county property, it's going to get dumped on and nobody's going to clean it up. Because it goes on the roster. Okay, we'll get to that as soon as, and then you get to the prioritization aspect. I mean, this now what used to be number two is now number 22.
Right.
Simply because everything else has to be done. So it's, I mean, it's nice to say we'll take care of it. We can't take care of it sometimes, and for months. And in that process, then things just continue to build up. So
well, putting it on this list of a sellable piece of property puts it up on the list to get it cleaned up, but we don't clean it up until we're ready to sell it.
Right.
So that if it, you know,
redump.
Yeah, we're not going to.
Right.
Minimizing the cost to the taxpayers, how many times we're going to clean it up, or the ratepayers, because it's all out of the stuff. We would charge the solid waste agencies for trying to protect the solid waste agency to reimburse us for those cleanup costs, which we are doing. So.
Yes.
Okay, so we move item 1, C and D forward to Wednesday, and could we have Mr. Watson come in to talk about alienation?
We'll plan on that.
Mike, you'll probably talk about all three of those. A, C, and D.
Certainly.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Moving on. Item 2. Appreciate you all being here.
Yep. Thank you.
Item 2 is Public Works, and this is on Amendment 1 to the contract. contract for personal services between Public Works and OTAC for the emergency wall repair on the Monument Drive Bridge. Oh, dear. Okay.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty good for Thursday.
That's about that. Yeah,
it would be. Tomorrow things will be a lot better, right?
That's right.
Okay. In the meantime.
This is an amendment to the design inspection contract for the wall. The option that we've chosen is to use soldier piles, basically put piles in and put wall pieces behind it. It was the least intrusive into the roadway and the stream bank. So we had to bring down a drilling rig to drill down there to see what they would find. Otherwise, there's a lot of unknowns and the construction costs go up drastically. So just to cover that cost, it's a not to exceed. I know it'll come in lower because we did put a contingency of about $4,000 into it. So
$17,585 is the not to exceed.
90 cents.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the total is $97,460.
Right.
But the estimate of this change is
17. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why isn't this just done by the manager and the liaison? This is under the amendment threshold.
We asked county legal, and they said since the first section was signed by the board that we had to.
The board has approved the delegated liaisons up to the contract signing authority on amendment.
Yeah, we asked legal, and what they came back with. So.
Okay.
Just a little follow-up on this. We're hoping in a few weeks to come back with the actual construction contract, and we're hoping to expedite the signature so we can hopefully get everything.
Yeah, point of the season where you're
we are
not able to pay past the 15th or the end of the month. And
yeah, actually, we're not getting into the road.
Yeah.
So we're just hoping to get in there before the stream rises.
Right.
So, We still think we have a window for that,
okay.
But it's going to be pretty tight.
I think we're pushing it, though.
We are.
We didn't get any rain in August, so if it all comes in September or
October. It
won't.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Is there any expectation of finding something? I mean, is this going to screw up the whole timeline here?
We don't think so. It's just how deep the piles and everything will have to go. So.
Arthur, don't we have that as an amendment to a contract giving liaison the signature authority up to that signing authority?
Up to $50,000, I believe.
Yeah, so it's standard contract authority for amendments.
This is for state contract.
I don't think there's a distinction. I don't have a distinction.
Well, maybe the order, regardless.
The order says for state-related contracts. So legal
it doesn't
is
say
sticking,
in general?
No. The legal is sticking to the fact that if a contract is signed by the full board, then it has to be signed by the full board because this is an estate contract.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean,
either way,
I'm
here.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's nice to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to see you.
We're refining our processes so that you're not held up on amendments that for things that are they're non-debatable. The board isn't going to ever say, no, we don't want you to dig. We want you to just go out there and whatever the contract is,
And I wouldn't be here if it was an optional item. So
Well, then we need to refine the process. That's what I'm trying to clarify before
and
we had to come a couple of times. So to understand it needs to happen now. Mm-hmm. So
Commissioner Hare, we will let you get that amendment taken care of.
Okay. Yeah. It's unfortunate that order didn't.
Because most of them come in from Public Works and road contracts. And
they're either Public Works or airport or Public Health.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the major.
Yeah, and the Public Health ones, though, because those are state, typically.
We should not have had it just restricted. That order should not have just been restricted to
state. Because they're mostly with the state Oregon Health Authority.
Yeah. So.
Well, we'll leave it to you to get that changed.
After we settle this one, which is no problem.
Okay. Shall we move this forward?
Please.
Okay. Move forward. Admin. Additional funding.
With all due respect, you took 25 minutes this morning on a lease agreement that had been settled by the parties. So I think this is an okay two-minute conversation on this administrative process that I'd like to refine.
So do you need 2 minutes to keep talking?
I think I've got it worked out.
Equability, I'm not quite sure what the... I mean, nobody's quibbling about this.
No.
Let's do it.
But I want to take it
as far as in the future.
Yeah.
Well, let's take care of that in the future. But that has nothing to do with this one.
I have to do it now, so we don't have a problem in the future.
Well,
to do this.
Fine. I mean,
that's all. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
And I still need to come back with the board for the road closure, so for the parades and stuff. So I understand that.
Sure.
Okay, but
you don't. Project.
You don't have to be at the meeting next week. I think Mr. Hare will address it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Chuck. Okay, 2B, Human Resources, Request for Job Description Change, any corrections?
Good morning, Commissioner.
Mr. Schofield.
Mm-hmm. So this is for the position of the Work Crew Program Supervisor. Over the years, this position has taken over more programs than just Work Crew, and this job description just codifies that difference. So there's a number of things that the department does basically to prevent a client, I guess, from going back into incarceration or custody. So there's the work crew is the most common. There's home detention, supervisory authority, and community service. And so this position oversees all four of those programs. And so the job description just shows
that. It's what they're doing.
Yeah. And most counties... have a job description of work crews, lead or whatever they call it, different things, and the other three tend to be hodgepodge put out. Sometimes they're in this job, sometimes they give it to someone else. So there isn't another comparable job title that has here's all these four programs, because the other three of counties our size are all given to someone, often this position, but sometimes a PO does it, sometimes you know, one of the supervisors does it. It just depends on how that county operates. But in talking to Nate and talking to the person who does this, they thought it was real important that, you know, in order to accurately depict what the person does, it needs to be put in the job description. So it's a pretty simple update. It didn't actually affect the salary range. I looked at it and still, you know, within the same scope of salary.
The thing I like about it is, from my view, is that it takes a job that was this narrow, widens it out to cover a whole bunch of different options, and now it's all codified and that kind of thing. So I appreciate the work that everybody's done on that to allow the freedom of expansion.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Okay. We shall move this forward. No objection?
No.
Okay. Okay. And we can move that to the admin calendar.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who will speak to this? You want to come over, JJ?
I don't think it's necessary. This is a
well, if we have a copy of that, I can speak to it. So okay, the copy will be with the paper, so I can do that.
Isn't that you? You should speak to this.
So I'll be happy to speak to you.
Okay.
Sure wants to speak to this one.
All right. Thank you.
Keith will speak to it then.
Okay. Give me the stuff.
It'll be in the packet. Too.
Okay.
It'll be in the packet, yeah. Okay. Quarterly updates, building maintenance. We have Mr. Johnson.
Morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. I've heard you've been out looking for money trees.
What?
You've been out looking for money trees.
Oh, yes.
You have. Haven't found any yet.
Haven't found any. We need some. Definitely.
We need some.
Big bushy ones.
Now, the reason I said that is because you've been out on all kinds of issues.
Yes.
Actually, it's exactly the opposite. You know, finding holes that require financial contributions as opposed to the other way around. But maybe they'll bear fruit of money someday.
Let's see, a quick update on the roofing project going on at Washington. Everything's going as scheduled. We've only had one change order, which has been very pleasant.
Do they have an estimated date of completion? I mean, I've never seen anybody take overstatement, you know, 4 months to take down 15 foot of chimney.
Oh, well, that was turned out to be a little more complicated.
Okay.
Fortunately, we didn't get a change order for that.
Okay.
That was a lot better built than it looked like.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
And it has, did it actually have some reinforcing in it?
It didn't have any real reinforcing in it other than the top cap, but they actually staggered the bricks different directions and some really unique mortar joints that they put in. Mm-hmm. It was well done. It was well done. We had a few concerns over habitat for birds and bats, but they all vacated, so we didn't really disturb anybody.
There were bats in the balcony.
Things that have been constructed so thoroughly, the Dimmick Tower, there's been a couple of other ones, except for the fairgrounds, that facade on there was just hanging on.
Well, the facade was put there to hold it up.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with the contract, just curiosity. Are they keeping those bricks? Can they resell those bricks?
They are piling them up in case we wanted them.
Oh, okay.
They are sitting in their yard if anybody, for kind of like Dimmick, if anybody wanted for sentimental reasons. It used to be a school. You know?
Okay.
But reusing them, they're probably not in good enough condition.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the name of the school before?
I'm not sure what the name of the school was. I haven't looked into that. It was an elementary school.
It was an elementary school, but I don't remember. I don't remember if it was an elementary school when I moved here. So.
I'm not historians.
Mine was the Hathmore, bordering Plymouth County.
Back down here on the...
That one over here, that's Correction.
Washington. Was it Washington School?
Community Correction. Oh, yeah, probably.
Yes, it's Community Corrections building now, but it's the old elementary school right there on B, between B and C, on 4th and 5th, or 3rd and 4th.
When was the school built? How old are those bricks?
1900.
Don't know that one off the top of my head.
So anybody that went to school there, they're right, because anybody that went to school there might like that.
Yeah. I mean,
or some of them anyway.
Yeah.
The good thing about this whole process is that the chimney itself, we were going to take it down to the first floor roof deck. It's incorporated into the Marie Hill conference room. So that tells us that the brickwork on the building is also well done.
Well, that's good.
So that was refreshing. So instead of finding another commercial building.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We're looking at a couple more weeks for completion, 2 to 3 weeks.
That's one of the roofs I haven't been on.
Yeah, and then we're changing the pitch to the roof drains because that wasn't designed properly.
That's one of the reasons too. If people of 153 or whatever, 253 for the cost of this.
Yeah,
that's something people overlook. All of that repair change has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
The removal, which is, it becomes much more complicated than what was thought originally.
Yeah, it's not just a re-roof.
No, it's not just a re-roof. Yeah. It's not going up there, slap that new paper,
Right. And the roof itself very well could have been done by similar contractors that built the commercial building.
Mm-hmm.
Or not built it, but put the awnings on.
Yeah.
Because it was that bad. Mm-hmm. So... we also, the one change order we did have when they tore the roof off, somebody had cut through the plywood decking completely through it. The only thing holding the decking was the roofing itself. So that was the one change order. And it's like, we want to do that.
We'll free for that.
Yeah. Was that the low bidder?
Yeah. I was contacted by OJD yesterday in regards to the June survey. If we'd be interested in building a new courthouse in the next 10 to 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're now looking for more specific information, when we'd like to build it.
Well, this is what we've been waiting for probably...
The first time in 20 years.
Well, the legislature, maybe when you were there...
When I was there, I tried to get courthouse.
It was the biannual for... every 2 years, they were going to start trying to build a new courthouse in the state of Oregon, and they couldn't get over the hurdle of Multnomah first. It's like $60 million was the first one, and they're doing it. So now we're hopefully going to start. Now they've got a $2 billion projected shortfall in the budget.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It could be another 10 years before they get to it. But we have to play the game and talk and say, well, what we should say is the conversation is we're the same design contractor as Klamath Falls. So, they just had an earthquake in Idaho or something like that somewhere.
Oklahoma.
If it happens here, we're going to be out on the street because mm-hmm. you'll make it out, but you can't come back in.
Right.
And so what are we going to do? They need to start now, or they're going to have an emergency situation.
We had to put in our initial interest on that.
Right.
To prepare an initial interest. And yep. I talked to Kirk on that, I think, before I sent it in. But I think we talked to everybody before we sent it in. Yeah. So.
And I'm referring back to when we put the fire system in. OJD was kind of in charge of that project. They were funding it. Their architects looked at the building and said it was insufficient for seismic. So rather than us reinventing the wheel, that's what I'm referring back to.
Perfect.
Good.
Yeah.
But as far as timelines, how much space we would give to the courts, I would need some input.
I think Kirk can help you on that, too, as far as the judge's space. Like right now, I think they're short, probably 2 courtrooms. Mm-hmm. They're short.
Yeah.
Does the facility study that we have, because it talks about moving the court system out and moving us into different locations within the courthouse, consolidating space and such, did it talk about anything about what the court systems need, or it's not our issue?
Yeah, it didn't really address that other than a whole new courthouse.
Yeah, somewhere else.
Somewhere else, yeah.
We
can build it across the street, I think, it's it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
To build a new courthouse?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was one of the areas. That
yeah.
Was, yeah. Or the library communications house, that area, and then make this back area parking, right, somewhere along those lines.
It seems as though you want to utilize the parking areas that they already have established for dual purposes, so putting it in proximity, you know, over where the library is, you know, getting rid of all of that, moving the library up to the Demick campus as part of the senior transitional housing community center style thing.
Yep.
So they could all kind of work together. We don't give the courts this property for free, right? We're kind of required to provide this.
Yeah. Yes, but it doesn't really specify how much.
Yes.
So they obviously want a lot,
you
know, but then we have to decide how much are we going to give them.
And then 20 foot and 120 feet high.
We've got a closet right now.
Yeah, and then we have to obviously maintain and pay the utilities and everything that goes along with it.
A new building would be a whole lot more energy efficient.
For sure. Yeah.
A whole lot more.
Well, I mean, this uses up a lot of your time.
Yeah.
On this, and I don't see any great incumbency to spend all that time and research on something that is theoretical, that might happen, might not happen,
By the time it does happen, where are we going to be as a county? So if you're trying to predict what your state needs are for 10 years out, so just put together some numbers based on what they have right now. I wouldn't really even speculate on projections. Just say this is what they're currently using.
At
the end of the day.
Yeah, I think you're referring back to what the studies have already been done. Take that and go with that. I mean, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time.
The whole purpose is to put it on
in the queue.
Kind of like the traffic plan, you know, 10 years out. They put you on the list.
Yeah.
Right.
And you have to have an estimate to get on the list. And then the list starts, moving up the list.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep it real generic and keep us on the list going forward.
Well, you don't need to map out how much space Judge Baker would like to use.
She'll be
retired by the time.
And money. Right.
And so will you, probably.
Yeah.
Then your budget is $127 million.
We want to get in the queue, say alien, and then, change order.
$10 million. Another change order.
Our cat building, cat kennel, whatever we're referring to
as.
We're not calling it a cat house.
It looks nice.
Yeah, it's we got our certificate of occupancy. It's a done deal. All the septic system and electrical systems have been upgraded. Diane's planning some kind of open house or grand opening. I would imagine in the next month. So I believe she's out of the office for a little while.
Those are the kind of things though that slide down real quick as far as below the radar. That whole process is one of the real bright spots has taken place and what has happened in the community has provided these funds. This is evidence of how this all works when we all work together to accomplish a good step. And it ought not to be just sort of, oh, yeah, okay, good, overlooked.
Yeah, and for BOM specifically, a lot of the guys that are working on this are very proud of how much money they've saved the county and the animal shelter. We did a lot of it in-house. Kind of put us a little behind on some things, but
you ran into a complication last winter in regards to the
septic system.
The septic system, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm thinking the wastewater. Septic,
yeah.
The wastewater.
That put the brakes on it real quick.
Yeah, it did.
Well, then this is, for Ryan to be commended, this is outside of his wheelhouse. They're not paying into the property reserve and all of that. So this is over and above what his job description, what he's been chartered with from the board to do. So it's a big thing.
Hey, we're in love.
Yep.
Yeah, we did the drawings, we did everything in-house.
Wow.
So. Uh-huh.
Well, and that all, to me, that all ought to be noted and talked about at this open house, or open cage, whatever we want to call it.
Right.
You know, to have that brought to everybody's attention, that this is
I missed the last animal board meeting, so I don't know, do they have a date for the open house yet?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, because I think they were discussing it at the last meeting, and I wasn't there. I was out of town.
Another small piece out there. We're replacing all the guillotine kennel doors.
Uh-huh.
They've been fighting with those for years, so we're in the process of doing that now, too. So it's
that was on the list with the levy money.
Yes.
So it's finally happening.
So we're chipping away at some of the problems out there, which is good. Fairgrounds, we're still trying to get some traction on the commercial building, get it going. We're waiting on beams and posts. Looks like we're going to get some of that donated to save some money. So, if you're not seeing a lot of activity over there, that's the reason why. But we have people chomping at the bit to get going on it.
So that project, I was over there that one day right before the fair, like 2 weeks before the fair.
Mm-hmm.
The work that has to be done, is it just the work? Is the problem mostly just inside those wing doors that stick out? You know, the building is shaped like a four-leaf clover, practically, and it's got those four big doors.
Right.
And they have the facades on the outside. Is that where most of the problem is? The interior structure is still good?
Yeah, the original structure that was built is pretty sound. It's when they came back and added some, they enclosed the ants. The original, I believe, was just big barn doors, probably, or no doors at all. It was an open structure. Whenever they came back and did that, when they framed in the wall, it wasn't done.
Okay.
Quite up
so it doesn't mean you're going to put beams and trusses and everything across the whole thing. It's just the ends.
No. But we are going to try to address all openings. Only two of them have the awnings that were added on, but I guess it would be the north and west side also have some tip out going on the structure.
Yeah, so. Visible tip out.
Tip over. Yeah. So, but we did put strapping and some other precautions on it before fair to make sure there was no issues. Once
And it all went well.
It looked nice. It was fine. Bad.
Yeah, and we put some primer on it and tried to polish it up a little bit.
It looks fine.
Yeah, looked fine. Worked out.
Good job.
Real quick on the pieces of the rock. We are completely out. We are going to have to hand out IOUs.
We have no pieces.
No, we have no pieces. No medallions, no pieces. I mean, I say none, but we could probably put together a couple, I believe. I have a couple of samples for medallions. Do you want me to decide which ones we're going to go with, or you want me to bring it back to the board?
Well, you have the medallions you have, one that is close to what we have is...
Yeah,
fine.
It's an alternative.
Yeah,
we can get.
Yeah, and it's metal. It's a brass.
Or
bronze. Yeah.
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 That would be fine.
And then we'll cut up some more marble, and then in the future we'll have to address what we're going to do for marble, whether it's
Can we use those bricks off the chimney?
Hey, we'll call it a piece of the brick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd ever start running short on marble by the stack we have, but it's so weathered that as you cut it, it just
shatters.
Yeah, you know, and if we're not opposed to start going with something more rustic, we can make it stretch a lot further. And in my opinion, some of that looks pretty nice.
Yeah, know? I kind of like the rough edge.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they do it on, you know, granite countertops and stuff. It's a chip edge, and and it looks, we'll still polish it. We could still polish it, but it's going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
I think, I don't see any problem with that. I mean, you look at it and say, system cracked. Okay, it can be refitted. I have no problem with you coming up with whatever you come up with.
Okay.
I don't think it's, I don't think it's necessary that each piece of the rock has to be a 6x6 square perfect. It could be a
long or piece of the rock being like
exactly, and that
a
was
piece of the rock.
Yeah, somewhere along the lines they wanted it, you know, precise.
I don't think it has to be a precise cut.
I don't either. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So if we can move forward that way, we can make it happen.
Great.
So, good deal.
Are you looking for any construction elements in the courthouse that would impact marble?
The one area that I'm looking at is the bathrooms.
Yeah.
Because they've been chopped up over time, and we could salvage some for that type of thing.
Absolutely.
But the overall look of the marble in the bathrooms is not very good.
No. Well, it's interesting.
There's been a lot of holes drilled in most of it.
On this side. But the back side could be unpolished. It could be unweathered, so to speak. And that might be fine. Yeah. Polish up both sides, get it nicely clean and sterile. But
there's something by using the bathroom tile on the back side.
That makes you think we haven't been.
The back side of the
bathroom. I was going to say, what do you know it's the previous one was? That was behind the men's John over there.
Yeah, you're not seeing any missing from the hallway. It's not the street place. So that's where it likely came from anyway. I think we should look into that.
Okay.
Well, is there any of the storage closets? Because I know there's the custodian's closets. I mean, were any of those added?
Yeah, there is a few places.
Because I was going to say, I think I've seen some in closets.
And there is some that's hiding around where things have been chopped up and they just left the marble in there, you know.
Well, I think if you
get into a closet or something.
If the requirement is not, you must have a 6x6 square.
We've bought some time.
Because
there is no requirement. You know, we can cut you a piece about this big and put a bottle cap on it that has your initials.
Yeah, capital P was piece.
Yeah, and long as the expectation isn't to see
I think it would take some of the pressure off, too. You can have various shapes, sizes. I mean,
And that saves us time in the process because they are very time consuming to get a polish and a nice edge. And so
I can imagine. Getting it done, I've done stuff, and then something chips off. And it's junk. You know, I need to start over or whatever. But if it's part of the character of the pieces, you know, I'm really worried about it.
Yeah,
great.
Exactly.
Yeah, sounds good.
Good deal.
So just get that hammer out and start hitting the edge.
we'll end up with some shape like organs. And
those would be the premium.
Couple of jail items. We're continuing LED conversions over there, the big day rooms that run most of the lighting. We've already started on that. Got most of that complete, actually. So we're still looking at ways to try to get our utility costs down, to try to offset some other things.
Well, you've made great progress over the years, and it's really, I know this from working with co-ops, your incremental increase after your major ones is going to be smaller, so it's not going to be as, you know, like the Justice Building's conversion from electricity to natural gas or something. It's good. Not going to be as big, but they still all count.
They all count. I mean, our utility cost with all the increases and everything over the last 10 years, we've held our budget pretty steady.
Just through
energy efficiencies,
right?
You know, so for us, that's a huge thing.
Yeah, that's a trumpet call. How much has been done, and the way that you've done it and handled it, so that the costs have not just continued to rise, but they've stabled. We're going up.
Have you noticed anything? I've been meaning to ask this about the windows. We've almost gone through like a summer air conditioning, two summer air conditioning seasons.
Yeah.
This one was the first complete summer. They were doing it last year. mid-year, right?
Yeah.
And, 2 years? I don't
know. And actually, the way it penciled out, it wasn't looking like it was going to be a big savings. But I would say we're somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. We say, some change?
No, no, no. Mm-hmm. You know, it adds up in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know, when you got a $20,000 plus power bill, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, and if, boy, if you, I mean, that's what these windows were. Was it, how much was it, 11?
Oh, no, it was 70.
I mean, for the whole job, if you took it and you depreciate, you put it over each window.
Oh.
How much was it to do that? You're doing a couple windows a month.
Yeah, it was about that.
So if you do a couple windows a month for a couple of years, you have the whole project paid for 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think the cost was $1,700 per window.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So you've got this paid for mm-hmm. much faster than they expected. They told us that their analysis, it didn't pay to replace these windows.
Oh my gosh, you can sit at my desk and feel the wind go by.
Yeah.
I mean,
there was
terrible.
No way that it couldn't, in my opinion. I mean, that's why we kind of pulled the trigger and did it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's, you know, it's a joint decision. It made a lot of sense. Like, how could this not pay?
Yeah.
These single pane windows where people have the discretion on hot days because the AC isn't working to their mm-hmm. liking, they would open the window and, you know.
And then there goes all the air.
Right. So. I think this is making it comfortable.
Comfortability aspect is.
Yeah, the complaints alone has been. Great. Yeah, it's greatly reduced.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a good decision.
Glad you did.
Thank you very much. It was a hard decision because I like fresh air. I have the window open in my house if it's snowing, if it's 100 degrees. Got to have fresh air, but whatever.
And just to touch on that, we've taken readings throughout the building, and we've increased the fresh air intake on the building since the windows have went in. But it's controlled under certain temperatures when we're bringing it in.
Okay.
We're not sucking in outside air when it's 40 degrees outside.
Yeah.
You know, but then we still go minimum position. So we have a much healthier building
than we had,
even though it's closed up tighter.
Huh.
Oh, see that?
Yeah.
Well, I've actually read a little bit about this. So when they do, like, sensitive microchip development, they will have an air exchange with outside clean air, like, a couple of times, you know, in 10 minutes. The average home needs to have a complete transition of their air for healthy thing two and a half times a day.
Mm-hmm.
An office building, you know, ought to have, like, three times a day, a full air exchange. And I don't know what we're achieving, but they, you know, probably got it within the margin of where we need to be.
Yeah,
but it's done at the right times of day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, and then we'll just use our own judgment too.
Yeah.
We need to walk into the building
and say,
you know, it's feeling kind of stuffy. And the guys will come back when they open, you know, because it's been closed up. And, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. The jail. Cameras, card readers. We have some estimates on replacing cameras. Pretty good chunk of change to replace them, like for like. Well, the same quantity. But it's probably $200,000 to $250,000 is what we're looking at. And then that still leaves us with a lot of blind spots. And I know for liability, that's kind of what we're trying to do.
They're going to want blind spots.
Yeah, we want to correct that. So we're up $400,000 to get everything addressed.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. One of the good features about the system that we're looking at, a lot of these jails have put pan, tilt, zoom type cameras in, you know, and they got the little joystick and they can control them. Well, a lot of these cameras start failing. They don't zoom. Or you're looking to the right and something happens on the left. The system that we're looking at putting in is basically like a big fisheye. So it records everything all the time. But you can still, through the software, swing over and zoom in on one specific type thing.
But you're not moving the camera.
You're not moving the camera.
You're moving the focus.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it'll still record what you're not looking at.
Yeah.
So we're covered all the time. So
I like that.
Instead of being on the tail end of some of this stuff, we're looking at, you know, something that's hopefully going to be there for
The blind spots in a jail are just liability looking for a time.
Yeah, well, safety issue. Then that's the biggest thing, yeah. Safety issue.
Yeah, because if there is a blind spot anywhere, it is quickly found out. Oh, they know them. Not by the resident deputies necessarily.
Yeah.
They're quickly discovered.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think Arthur's got some ways that it can be funded. So
I hope so.
It says money trees we were talking about.
Some bushy money trees. So
then you get into the question of the expense on this. And if there is a levy failure in November, that this stuff would then sort of go on hold, I'm assuming.
We don't have to really worry about it. If we have to close the jail, there'll be a blind spot.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying that would say, okay, well, not fortunately, but unfortunately, we don't have to continue to seek funding alternative because to amply use one cell or whatever it is, that's going to change that whole situation too if that levy doesn't pass.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You have to, you know, reduce the jail
capacity. Sure.
Down to 60 beds or something, 45
20
beds.
Beds.
20 beds.
Yeah.
You know, then we don't have to have coverage everywhere. But the problem is that you're moving them from holding, you're moving them to here, you're moving them to there. Even if you're only doing it for 20 people or one.
Yeah.
They're coming in from intake. They're going into their holding. They're going to booking. They're going to this. They're going to that.
Like, they're seeing their attorney. They're going to medical. There's still the same blind spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's gotten to the point where we have cameras failing, lines going through them.
They can't tell whether it's a prisoner or an officer.
Yeah.
Well, dog.
Yeah.
And of course, there's all hindsight. You say that. Jail is how old, and this stuff is so schlockily put together.
Years.
You know,
yeah.
Geez, Willigan.
Yeah, they saved $1 million, and we've spent that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then some.
Sure.
And then even today, when I'm sitting here, I got an email that the water's actively leaking through the ceiling coming from mechanical upstairs. And these are pipes that are, you know, 10, 15 years old, copper pipes. They shouldn't leak for years and years and years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Copper pipes should make it 100 years.
Yeah, but we save money.
We save money.
Yeah. You can't go back and undo something. Like that. Again, but that's a good lesson on the short-sighted victory. It's not necessarily a long-term success.
Yes.
And sometimes we're so prone to see this short-term. Oh, what does it mean 25 years out?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just a general shift in attitude that Mr. Johnson brings to the table that, frankly, I didn't see when I first took office 5 years ago before we promoted you to your position, but it's the idea, the attitude when you're redoing the community corrections roof, you don't just re-roof it. You fix the problem that inherently probably depreciated that roof maybe faster than it should have been because it didn't drain properly.
Sure.
And this next roof, yeah, we spent a little bit more, but it should last as long as it's supposed to last because it drains properly.
Yeah.
As opposed to just covering up what was there before and letting it be
cut.
Somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
10, 20 years down the road, sure. We're maintaining, I think, our infrastructure better than we probably ever have with just the elements of air quality, energy efficiency, general aesthetics. You know, I remember when I took office, there was that water stain up in the second floor of the courthouse. And, you know, not only do you just paint over the, you don't just paint over the water stain, it fixed the roof for the contributing factor to it. And that is the leading, that's the number one thing that I would say that your office has done it, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years has just been so proactive about addressing the root cause of the issue as opposed to just painting over it. And
we have the biggest example right up there, the Dimmick Tower.
Yeah.
If they would have just spent $250,000 and put a roof on it,
we'd have a phenomenal building.
Absolutely. We wouldn't have any place to worry about where we're going to put anybody.
Yep.
There you go.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not casting aspersions on anybody.
No.
It's simply stating the
reality.
It's stating the reality of the situation. Okay, whatever the reasons, but that was the if that could have been properly cared for, It could be being used today.
Okay, it wasn't.
Okay. For whatever reason. But that's the impact of decisions made. And you go, oh, we should have. And, you know, again, you're to be commended, as Commissioner Harris mentioning. You're dealing with some of these things, oh, and so that they don't end up in a demic situation or some other situation.
Yeah. And all the staff that we have in building operations, the reoccurring saying is, would you put your name by it? When you walk away, would you put your name up there? Mm. And if not, then go back, because it's not done.
Yeah, good.
So,
that's
and,
good. Thank you.
And just to look at numbers over the last 5 years, in 2010, 9-10, we did 3,800 service requests countywide. This last year, we did 5,800.
Mm. Wow.
So even though we're still running light on staff, we're staying on top of it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard a lot of compliments, too, from everyone that I've talked to and my liaison responsibilities, that you're very responsive. Like I said, everyone. I mean, I can't just sit here and name one or two people. It's been everyone has said, boy, they've been real responsive. Mom really gets right out here and, you know, tries to take care of the problem for us. And so
we try
your reputation is very good.
That's great. And, yeah, we work hard to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'd be happy to name the fairgrounds. I mean, that they're pleased with punching. So thank you for your response that you have and the ideas and how to improve this or change this. But it's nice.
Yeah,
and we have a lot of managers that are understanding, too, you know, because we can't always tell them yes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're, you know, uh-huh. We're the complaint department.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes we have to tell them no, but we tell them why we're saying no. Where I think in the past, it was just no, and that just doesn't go well.
Yeah. Right.
So, the camera system, we're ready to try to move forward and get something going on it. I know the sheriff wants to do something.
Really eager.
He has some commissary funds, about 25%, I believe. And then I think Arthur's came up with a way that he could pay it back out of commissary funds over the next 5 years. But Arthur addressed that. If he wants to come up.
Sure.
You don't have to do that now.
Okay.
No, we can address later because he probably has some more work to do on that too. But
yeah, I'd like the liaison to the sheriff's department.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been in touch with the sheriff talking about it. So.
Oh, okay.
So
hammer out a proposal saying this is exactly what it's going to cost. We can do this space.
Before we waste any time on here.
We don't have to bite the bullet and do the full 400.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it's feasible. Mm-hmm. You can add cameras over time to address blind spots for areas we are going to be using and know we're going to be using. I hate to invest money in a camera for an area we're not actually going to be using. That sort of stuff that makes sense to me, but you also don't want to do like our asbestos remediation where if you just did it, all of it, you get a 10%, 20% discount on the project as opposed to you lose that discount and you end up paying more by having the contractor come back for one camera at a time. So those are the kinds of analysis I think you want to say, this is a matrix you guys can work on.
Yeah, and I think for cost savings wise, we need to at least address probably 60 to 70% of it up front for wiring and those type of things, and then we can come back and, you know, 15, 10.
Okay,
you know, do it
great
that way. So I'll just wait to hear.
Another thing is the residences for the caretakers at both of the airports. We have some serious issues on those I need to talk to you about. Like, really bad issues.
Those are not under the auspice of facilities specifically, so they don't have to go through Ryan. If Larry has some contractor in mind, something that has to be done, except
well, it's a little more than that. So I need to get your advice on what I need to do.
And the airports is another one similar to the fairgrounds. Over time, I would like to see it brought into the fold.
Yes, I would too.
So everything's kind of one umbrella.
I would too, and but the problems that we have are really, in my view, not safe.
Brian and I went out to the former Scholastic Kairos area.
On G Street?
No, the one about the airport.
Merlin?
Oh, Merlin.
And did our, with Mr. Watson, did a walkthrough. And so we went by the airport, obviously, and that was something we have in the back of our mind to work with Larry on replacing those, at least the one out in Merlin, that residence. I think that hopefully solve a lot of the issues. But
well,
it's really under the, we don't need to discuss the details.
Yeah.
It's really Larry's responsibility, not Ryan's, to have a facility that is up to standard, is up to code, and Ryan can consult, but I don't want you spending a lot of time on
something. Well, that's what I want, if I want to get his opinion on something.
That's the liaison. You're tasked with so many different things. We've got to focus on what's yours, and you're not accomplishing all of that because you're having to tell people no. So to be working on something that isn't necessarily project-wise, we have to be really, really diligent in managing, you know, yes, the cat house is an appropriate thing, or is that something that can be done on its own that doesn't take time away from paying customers, which are the county departments and clients that pay into your department. That's a big, big thing for me, that we're respecting their contribution and making it, you know, well, why am I paying for this? If Joe's getting this for, he's not paying the 63 cents a square foot.
Right. Well, the decision with the one in the IV is, do you tear it down and buy a new one, or do you fix the one you have? And that's what I need is your opinion on that.
Ryan's perfect for that.
Yeah.
Yep, happy to do it.
I'm not asking you to do the work on it. I'm asking you an opinion. Is it too far gone?
Sure.
So we'll get a little bit of time.
Is that the house? There's a house up there.
Yeah, the house. Yeah. We're talking some.
Let's do that.
Yeah. And I haven't walked through it myself, but I've had one of my guys go out there for water testing for Larry, and the feedback I got was that, in his opinion, it should be just torn down.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
I would have to look at it myself.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking, too.
I have some things. We need to have a plan by the board for this justice building lease agreement with the city, because I would really like to have a one-year plan of consolidating building and safety, planning, community development. I think the courthouse makes perfect sense. I wouldn't want to move them to public works. You only solve part of the problem. So much of their interactions with the assessor, the tax collector, the clerk's office, the surveyor, it makes so much sense, customer service wise. And we have square footage right there within the courthouse, but we can't access it because of the area that the city is encumbering isn't dividable. You can't go right through city police. So working with the city on that element of he's already had a guy kind of preparing to paint and do some things. I'd love to have a kind of a decision that the county is looking to try to do that, to say, hey, we know this area isn't working for you. We'd love to reconstruct it, but we don't want to do it while you're here. How about we do this area and you guys take 2 months, 3 months, whatever it takes to move over to that area, and then we wall it off.
Perfect.
Does that sound
good? Sounds good to me.
And then we can reconstruct that area to say community development, building safety, all of that.
Because then we would have access to them from here.
Right. And then we could start thinking about a single point of access for the courthouse. You know, we could wall off the courthouse, the justice area. I mean, the city police area, and just have that, and then the whole second floor would be accessible by one point of access. I think we could do that. That makes more sense.
Yeah, and I think we could move towards a single front counter
mm-hmm.
where you
yep.
commingle.
Right.
Yeah. If that works.
Have the public works administration maybe be over there, or the customer service element. They don't need to be with engineering all the time or something. You'd say. Anyway, we could work that out. That's one thing. The other long-term projects are moving facilities, evidence, public health, building and safety, we already talked about. Those are things that I think I'd love to sit down and we talk about a plan with each of those departments and saying, this is where we look to see to move you. We've talked about a number of different locations. It might make sense when we've talked about the greatest future liability of the facilities department, looking at what they're going to have to be working the most amount of time on, it's honestly the jail. It's probably that building over time. And so where do we have space? We do have space at the jail to perhaps evidence? Construct
evidence.
Evidence too.
Yeah, because evidence.
It should be.
That, that's already the sheriff's wheelhouse of talking about moving the evidence.
Well, over. I've already talked to him several times, and to Carrie Lee, and you know the objection. Well, we have some. We need so much space because we need. You know, that's not enough space. You know, the building we're talking about, and it's like. Yeah, you've got stuff that you need to get rid of that they haven't got rid of for
yeah,
years.
It's like
there's stuff in there that needs to go. It's taking up space.
Yes.
And it's not that well managed. Arranged.
Or at least, yeah,
right.
Timeliness of
there are,
inventory.
There are things there that need to be destroyed, and they haven't because they have fun to look at. Or now, some of them can be sold, like some of the paraphernalia stuff, because it's legal here. So...
well, whatever it takes to get rid of it and consolidate space, we can't afford to.
But they haven't wanted to get rid of some of that stuff.
No.
It's like you've got to get rid of it. You don't need to be storing it.
That they're gonna move, and this is how much space you're gonna need. That's the analysis that needs to be done. And said with this kind of intake average, you need this. And maybe we buy those secure pods, those transport storage units. Those make a lot of sense for me for little items that can be put in shelves, very secure. And when you get to a point where you need another one, you just go buy another one.
There's room on the cost jail grounds.
Yeah.
There's room on the jail grounds.
I think they make
and then once they're off of that property, sell it for the benefit of the sheriff's department.
Right.
We have a couple over there now with heating and cooling in them just because of what they're storing.
Mm-hmm.
We have one for chemicals with a feedback fan. So before they enter, it exhausts all the air in it.
Awesome.
So... they've been put to use in the past. That's
how they're tailorable to whatever kind of style of evidence you have.
Yeah. Well, from the time I was in one of those buildings almost 4 years ago until I was in it just 2 or 3 months ago, what was in it was cut by at least half.
Yeah, she's doing a good job.
It was nearly full when I was in it before. Now it's not.
So that's
one. And I think that is also part of the encouragement.
Yeah.
From the sheriff down
yes.
to the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's work with the stuff.
Let's get this stuff out of here.
Yeah.
You know, there's no need in keeping it.
And then we just need to talk about public health and where they're, how that's going. I think that there's
and Mr. Watson, I saw, what's this gentleman's name? I don't care.
Doug.
I saw Doug the other day, and I asked him if he had met with Mr. Watson, and he said, I met Mr. Watson. He says, we have a person that is working
on it. Great.
I said, okay, I just want to follow up, make sure that was happening.
Plan and order of these things are happening then, and what do we need to do?
Mm-hmm.
And the big one is that the city, you're receptive to the idea that the city would be talked about and moving it over to accommodate that. And then we need to remediate the stuff in the 8th Street building, the storage things. So this might be... and how we get rid of those things. We declare them surplus.
Yeah, we were looking at maybe disposing of some of it under the environmental cleanup.
That's still in the A Street building.
There's a lot of old furniture. And
old furniture.
A lot of old lights, you know, but, you know, the lights have mercury. Some of the furniture's got lead paint.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of that, you know,
right.
we can address with with the cleanup. But then everything else, you know, we could declare
surplus
or trash.
One of the things I was thinking in your downtime this winter, which you won't call it yet, working at what kind of a facility you would like to relocate to.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like? How big a facility does it need to be? And I kind of think that putting you, we can't put you here. That there's just no room here.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have room at the jail, that property. And it's in town. It's not that far from the courthouse. Just a little bit farther than where you are at the Demick campus. I kind of think that makes a lot of sense as an alternative. If you have another one in mind, I don't want to lease. I don't want to put money into leasing ground if we can help it.
Yeah,
the evidence building was another one, but I'd like to sell that piece of property.
Yeah,
that
it'd probably
needs to
be better
sold.
To sell it.
That needs to be sold.
But yeah, there's property at the jail. We could put up something.
Mm-hmm.
The other option I was thinking of recently, Senior Meals, we're going to be relocating at some point. That's our building.
Mm-hmm.
That space is pretty conducive that we could go in there and section off for offices and then use one side for warehouse space. Because we do warehouse quite a bit of stuff.
I think one of the reasons that this is, they were pigeonholed in the extension services building, basically. No, it's our building, but it was the intent that they would be able to utilize it. They have every expectation that they can utilize the space being freed up by Food and Friends. So I'm not really feeling, and I'm not really excited about encumbering the fairgrounds with more things. I'd like to remove Public Works and maybe put that the convention center for Grants Pass that the city has planned for. I can't see a better spot in Josephine County than right there on the river next to that park and all sorts of proximity. I mean, you can do so many things.
Yeah.
That's in the future. I don't want to put more stuff on the fair.
Well, how much land does Public Works need?
Yeah. Well, they have 7 acres right now. It depends on how efficient, probably about 7.
I was thinking where the evidence building is now, but that's too small.
So I don't want to encumber like really prime employment land.
Right.
That's a really good location.
It is. It's
so,
a good spot.
So prime.
It's a good spot.
We should employ people there. I feel the same way about the city's 5 acres of space. ODOT.
5 acres of where?
On J Street. They own 4 or 5 acres for their public.
There was a call that I did on your J Street.
Okay. And then, you know, on Agnes, where ODOT location is, they should not be there.
No.
We've got a spot for everybody to go to. It's just going to take some planning. So ODOT is already receptive from the highest level. Mm-hmm. I talked to Matthew Garrett about this. And they want to unencumber, co-locate. There's efficiencies with a little bit out of the way for the city, but it's not undoable. It's not totally out of the question. Yep. It's in that general direction.
It's got city water.
Yep.
The city's going to go that way.
Yep. So,
airport.
And then the recycling project. How receptive are you personally to this? I just don't feel like the departments are going to care much for it.
We've tried it in the past, just internally, and it
doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it ended up very time consuming and more costly for us.
All right.
But we are, you know, baby steps, and as we kind of I think going that way, it seems to people have started using, you know, the paper recycling.
Yeah.
You know, if we just a little at a time, they get used to it.
The problem even in our office,
what is the resistance?
They co-mingle stuff. I see it right next to the coffee machine. Mm-hmm. There's trash in that receptacle all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's a recycling receptacle. People just, they don't have the wherewithal to make those.
You know what would make a difference? I recycle all the time. I've been recycling for years. Almost nothing goes to the landfill in my house.
Yeah.
But those receptacles that have a lid on it that say trash, paper, cans, something that actually tells them what goes in there. Because then they don't have to think about what goes in there.
Right.
As long as they have to think about what goes in there, they just throw whatever in it. Because we've grown up with, if it's a trash bin, it's a trash bin. You put everything in the trash bin. But, when you can get those receptacles that have a round hole for cans and bottles, and you get the one for the slot for paper. If they had those, and I'm not saying that the county needs to buy them, a whole bunch of these, but maybe that's something that our trash recycle company
they have already volunteered to
do.
All of those that we want.
And I think there would be more recycling then, because they don't have to think about it. If you're busy and you're working, you're not thinking about, is this the right container. If it tells them it's the right container, then it goes in there.
So we're already recycling.
Yes.
We could try to employ this at 3 or 4 locations. The concept that Commissioner Walker is talking about, they have already come and we've already met with them, and I have examples of what they have to offer in my office. Maybe we could try it at 2 or 3 locations. I'm thinking of like the break room, or maybe the break room's not a very good one.
Yeah.
That's mostly cheap. Trash, but I was just thinking like next to coffee machines where people are commingling stuff.
Yeah, and we could look at a few areas and give it a try.
Maybe we ask to figure out order, because they said they provide them for free. We just have to ask them for them.
And I'm for recycling 100%, but then it does go back to staffing as well.
Yeah.
Because now
you're making multiple trips for the same.
Because nobody takes it out to the street.
No.
So each custodian is now taking a can container, a paper container, emptying the trash, which is fine. But we have to have the people
To do it.
It doesn't have to be in every office. I use my little thing there for trash in my office. I put all the paper, the cardboard, all that kind of stuff in the recycle out here, and I put my bottles and cans in there. But if they were out in the hallway, you know, where you had in your office just a trash, and then the recycles went out in the hall. I mean, if you have a thing right beside the copy machine that says paper only, and the little slot that's the only paper goes in it, you know, then they're not going to be putting trash in it. But
And break rooms might be a good spot. In public areas where we've had recycled containers in the past, we've had to pull them just because
people were putting trash in them.
Throw their McDonald's,
even though it was a slot and a can.
Yeah, they don't care.
That didn't work. Okay.
They don't care. As long as it's out of their hand. It's unfortunate. Yeah.
Well, we can work on it.
Yeah, we can do some.
Yeah,
for sure.
Thanks.
All right. All right. Good.
Right?
Yeah, you just.
Or the thing that I was thinking is finding the department. This is costing us all money. We spend $60,000-$70,000 a year on trash. And we really, I mean, not that recycling is free, but it's certainly less expensive than sending things to a landfill. If they don't have, you know, that's just part of the job. We're all trying to save money here. And if you're co-mingling trash, you get fined.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to do it, but they say that negative is six times more persuasive than a positive of a right-sized container or a blue, pretty receptacle. It's like, no, when your department is found in error, you will be fined. You know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
We don't care. But your department's going to pay for assess a fee associated with that or something. I don't know.
Well, I think just trying by putting
that power, maybe we could do something like that, because every year, and we confiscate, I don't know how many portable heaters.
Yeah.
Last year we calculated it out, and it was like us running five homes just on these little 15-amp heaters.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So we gather them up, and then people go out, get a new one.
Yep.
You know, they got it under their desk. You know, the little foot warmers or whatever,
sure.
Those are all fine. They're not drawing much. You know, but when you got a little portable heater on heat, plus the safety factor, you know.
Yeah, right next to their recycle bin.
Yeah.
And it's on automatic, and they're at a conference in Salem.
Yeah. And it's, you know, even the department heads, you know, they miss it because the employees got it under their desk.
Sure.
You know, but our custodian's fine.
Yeah. Maybe if we started with just putting the recycling next to all the copier machines with the slots, start with that one, and then anything else in the office, if they dump a trash in it, well, but if they'd have that.
That's a good idea.
I mean, that's one way to start to see if they can just start retraining.
Right there.
Yeah, and I think now
it's right there.
The local trash services are starting to provide more recycling.
Yeah.
I think the mindset of the employees are... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, maybe if you start, how many do you think you'd like to start with for just the paper recycling? I'll place an order with them and we'll get it started.
Sounds
incrementally.
Good.
Great. Thanks, Ryan.
Sure.
Good job. Have a good day.
Do you all mind if we take a couple minute break?
I don't mind at all.
No, I don't mind at all.
Okay. On after our break, we now have our finance report. We have with us Arthur O'Hare.
So this is just some quick updates. I did talk to Ryan, and the funding for the cameras is coming from the commissary fund. So right now the commissary could provide up to $288,000 of the cost. So particularly when we talk about the scope of the project and those kind of things. So we'll talk about that, but the funding is commissary. The fee change memo, annually I send out in September a memo to the departments to notify them of any fee changes that the department wishes to have. So that memo will be going out in the next week or so. And we'll get the process started, and then typically the fee changes become effective on January 1st. So that's a general countywide, all departments. Standard & Poor's The rating company called me this week and set up a meeting for next week to go over whatever financial changes have occurred within the county. As you remember, Moody's did that a few months back, and we moved up in the bond rating world because of the policies and the practices that the commissioners have put in place. And so hopefully Standard & Poor will do the same thing.
What were we in? What are we now?
Well, what we're in a... Oh, I'd have to look. We're a or A plus, something like that. We're not at the top. We're a couple two, three
like
down.
Yeah, they go from A plus, and A plus one, A plus two, A plus three.
Right, and Moody's and Standard & Poor's has a slightly different way of formatting that, but we're basically we're at the same rating, but they removed our negative outlook. That's how Moody changed it.
Well, I thought we were had even fallen under the A rating.
No, no, we're still in the A something.
I mean, in the past.
We've never been below an A.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a matter of what the outlook
A
is.
Double A. We had double A bonding. We dropped to an A with a negative outlook. I think we're back to an A.
Okay, that was the same with the negative outlook. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, but no more negative outlook. So I'm anticipating Standard
until next year.
Give us that.
Well, not even. It's the element that we're stable and we will live within our means.
Mm-hmm.
We're only using 3% capacity of our bonding capacity. So, I mean, as far as what it's having an effect over, we've got very few bonds that the rate would be adjustable, you know. It's the capacity to go out and bond if we wanted to on a development of the Demick campus, something of a reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we have real plans to do that. All those would be approved.
We have the one that's going to be paid off. The jail itself is going to be paid off within 18 months. So.
Yeah. June 30th, 18 is the last.
I think the biggest issue that Moody's had made brought up was the fact that we're no longer spending down our contingency or our fund balances. You know, the fact that we establish fund balances within general fund, property reserve, equipment reserve. The main issue was when we got that big chunk of money, I think it was 2008, 2009, that $10 million that was the last minute deposit. And we deliberately, intentionally moved that forward and spent it over time. Numerically, that just meant we were spending down our fund balance. Well, that's not a good sign if you just put it into an equation and don't look at the policies or the decisions behind it. So that's what contributed. Now that we're at a point of we're basically spending what we bring in each year, it doesn't affect the fund balances. They're not falling like they appeared to be. That was a strategic move on our part, on the county's part, but just numerically it looks better now.
Well, they're not doing an evaluation of service
no
or what we need to be providing for our services. They're looking at the fiscal
health
days in reserve, not spending down more than we're kind of living within our means.
Correct.
We don't have a choice because we don't have the reserves anymore.
But we're maintaining a reserve. I mean, we're maintaining a general fund reserve. We've got a public works reserve. We've got equipment, roads and bridges, equipment, property reserve. So we've got those reserves set in place, and that's good. That's a good sign as far as they're concerned.
Were you made aware of this email that was received from Building and Safety yesterday from
Yes,
Audrey.
I had a slight response to that, but I think the
premise is good.
The premise is good, and the analysis or the context on the reserves for building and safety is good. I think those are valid points to be made. My thinking is, in a certain way, is that, well, if it was really as easy as she makes it sound, how come it hasn't been done in the last 5-10 years, because it's not. So that's the point behind getting a community development director, because we really do need to have that extra cost in order to bring that focus on customer service and move the planning and building and safety.
And build the community.
And build community and be more responsive to the needs of the community. If we do that, then we should see an increase in compliance with permitting and getting, having an increase in revenues for that department.
And I'm not going to presuppose that Mr. Rice wasn't focusing on the budget, but having somebody in administration who isn't a licensed inspector, whose first priority is not to go do a review of an inspection, but to review the budget, not, you know, that's their task. They're not distracted with anything else. I think will lead them to better, maybe fiscal long-term decisions, and that's why I'm not supportive of bringing on added positions that can be those inspections can be done by a contractor that I don't have to worry about letting go, or we use them on retainer when we need them. Part of these costs incurred is we're having staff when the downturn happened, and they're not bringing in money.
And it's a fixed cost. We made it a fixed cost instead of a variable cost.
And we're not dynamic. You incur these whether you're making money or not. And that's not a good way to operate for a building and safety. Public Works, they need to maintain roads every day of the week. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. Planning has that same kind of a thing, but there's a more lead time. Building and safety is totally reliant on people who are bringing projects to fruition and need inspection.
Totally responsive to the needs.
Planning or doing things for projects they may not do for 10 years, but you're accruing revenue right now because they're having to make their permit costs and stuff. So it's a little bit, building safety needs to be run very dynamically, and I think that's part of the overages that we've seen. Not that they weren't valuable staff, but it's like, man, that's the one who eats and dies by the building world.
Well, obviously, too,
the
mention that the reserves are going down. Well, okay, if the reserves are going down, then what we've been doing is not
working. It's not sustainable.
And whether it takes, you know, we've got 3 years left, or whether we have 2 years left because we brought on a community director, either way, the direction is we're going to run out, whether it's 2 years or 3 years. So we need to do something to stop that and to turn it around and to bring things back.
And with as much construction and development that's going on, we should not be buying down our reserves at all right now. Mm-hmm. This should be a maintenance level. This should be reinvesting in that reserve right now. If you're not doing that now, then you're living outside your means.
When is the combining of those departments supposed to be completed? Have you talked to them?
We had a conversation. I think that there was some specific things that needed to be worked out, and they were going to bring those back to the board.
Correct. Yes.
But
I think you had a meeting while I was gone.
We did. Mm-hmm. And our expectation was before the end of the year was what I was thinking. Right.
Yeah, that's what
it was Mark.
I didn't know if you changed.
It doesn't need to be done tomorrow.
Because I think what will happen when you're talking about they're drawing down the reserve, and I had the message as well, the drawing down the reserve, is that maybe they were a little bit too administratively heavy. I don't know that. But maybe they were, because as you say, they're so dependent on the building industry. Maybe that administration cost can be better handled when you are utilizing the administrative staff you have to cover all of those functions, rather than having one here and one there and one here. You know, if you combine them, sometimes combining departments is efficient and sometimes it's not. But their activities are so related.
Yeah.
That when you do have one that is so construction dependent and then others that are more in the planning that have to keep going all the time, that maybe they can work out a more of a symbiotic relationship, so to speak, in the community development area.
I think there'll be what I'll call economy of scale that can happen between the two departments.
Mm-hmm.
I think her points were well made, and I think they will be
addressed with
our new community development director. I think those will be good information for her to focus in on and address that. So,
well,
so
I think
it's all good.
I think we have
found your response.
Yes, I will do that.
I think we have found the perfect person for that position in Julie, because she sees the big picture and she can coalesce it into one vision.
I think that's what,
you know, she sees that. And I think that's going to be really critical for moving forward in the county because as much as we'd like to have more budgets so that we could do more things and do what we do better, but you know what? It's probably not going to happen very soon. And we need people like her that can see the big picture, that can help develop the economy. You know, I think that's really, I think she's going to do some really good things that way.
And then the last thing I just wanted to bring up is that Illinois Valley News contacted me again for a second article, the first article being the budget, the general budget article they put out last week or 2 weeks ago. Now they're following up on another article dealing specifically with general fund and the internal service fund. So I've been talking with Anita on that.
I thought the first article was really good.
Shoot, that was super.
And a couple of things that could have been better clarified, but that's always the case.
Right, right. And you have to have that balance between how much do you go into depth, lose your audience potentially, or keep it on a straightforward, simple.
I thought you did a good job. Yeah.
Was that in the last one that came out last week?
Yeah.
I'll have to go read that.
Or the pie chart, front page of the pie chart.
Understanding all of these things is really complicated.
Yeah, it's not a simple task.
Well, I mean, just as an example, I was talking with somebody yesterday about marijuana grow, and they said the city wasn't doing anything about these people growing next to them, and they were in the urban growth boundary, and she was really upset about that, and I said, I'm not even sure if everybody at the city understands the distinctions between the old urban growth boundary and the new urban growth boundary. Yeah, they won't do anything. And they wouldn't tell me why or whatever. And I said, well, are they any older than the new? And she said, does that matter? And I said, yes, it does. It matters significantly. And so I explained it to her. Like, even simple things like that have...
Simple.
They're complex. And even people of the city or the county... They don't always know.
Yeah.
You know, because they hired most of the staff after the urban growth boundary was approved. They don't know.
You know, it's interesting because I appreciate how Arthur tries to make the finance understandable to people, because some of the things that we take for granted or that we know because we deal with it. I actually had a little lady, bless her heart, votes all the time, reads, tries to stay current, all that kind of stuff. She said to me, yeah, I still haven't figured out why you have to keep buying new beds for all of these prisoners. Can't you just use the same beds?
Yeah.
Now, seriously, to us that sounds funny, but to someone that doesn't know anything, when we talk about how we have to buy beds, it's like, why are they buying beds?
You know, like, are they leaving with them?
Yeah, they do. They just throw it out or something. But seriously, it sounds silly to us, but we have to recognize that to some people, they think very linear.
Use the beds that you have.
They
don't
think very,
buy new ones.
Exactly.
How do we return that to where we're not paying for jail beds, paying for space,
occupancy?
Yeah. Something like that.
Instead of saying just beds, and say bed space, or or inmate space, or something. But I thought, well, you know. I can understand where someone who had no experience, had no frame of reference, and would hear that and would wonder, why are they buying beds?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and that's a good reminder that just because you say it and you understand it, it doesn't necessarily mean that's how it's understood.
Exactly.
Like
someone
you say,
else may not be
say,
understanding.
But you understand me to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
And the longer you're in it, the farther removed from that perspective, I would imagine.
Well, that's why sometimes over there at the weekly business session, we have a lot of, you know, acronyms.
So,
I try to say the words, you know, and some of them I may not quite know.
That MedTech?
Yeah, that one I did not know.
Yeah.
So I punted that one to you. I didn't know that one.
Not one I'm going to memorize.
No. Okay. Anything else for us, Arthur?
That's all I brought.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And I want my question answered.
What was your question?
I don't know. Between the finance and myself.
Okay. Is there any board business matters and commissioners?
Not me, ma'am.
Okay.
So Ryan and I did take a trip out there, and so we've I've recommended that for fire resilience, there's a lot of weeds right up amongst the building, getting the correction crew to spend just one day out there to weedy, if appropriate.
Weedy, prune the trees are kind of hanging over.
That's a long-term one I want to do.
Yeah, but they can do the quick ones that are right there on the front of the building where they're hanging over.
Because there's going to need to do some things. The roof is relatively new.
There's a couple of shingles missing. Did you see those?
Re-seeing some stuff, yes.
Okay.
Getting the envelope secure. Mm-hmm. And then there's fire suppression tanks out there. And anything to be winterized. We went through pretty much everything that needed to be. We got in almost everywhere and stuff. So trying to keep the cost low to what he's going to be doing. And that'll be billed to the property reserve fund to be paid back to facilities at that time. On the disposition or lease of that property, but I think we need to have an executive session talking about what we're going to do for the long-term usability of that. I think Larry's got some ideas. It's a airport-related piece of property, but I need to get the background on how do we acquire it?
How do we acquire the land?
Yes. So, well, Mike Watson's working on that. He was out there as well. He knows the vision for turning. I think a church would really be receptive to that as a
retreat house.
As a retreat house.
Yeah, you know, there's a big retreat house down by Rogue River.
It's actually in really good shape.
And that would be very similar.
There's some cosmetic elements, but nothing structurally. We saw one crack in the foundation. The roof is in pretty good shape, minus some small issues. There's a little bit of siding issues.
There's still some single pane windows that can be replaced.
Yeah, can be replaced. But otherwise, I think it's actually a pretty sound facility. So trying to get the perimeter secure, it's just one of those things where people want to get in, they're going to get in there. But I don't want to incur too much cost. The best thing to do is have somebody out there. And so
a caretaker.
We need to figure that out for a short-term solution and then a long-term plan. So we'll get that on executive session soon. Mr. Streeter and I, I've reviewed a preliminary draft of an ordinance codifying the management plan for our forestry department. So we'll be bringing that to the board for a proposed ordinance. We're going to be looking at refining the parks ordinance. There's some restrictions in there that should not be in an ordinance. They're administrative. They're not. And so Wally and I have already taken a quick draft of that, and Sarah and I are meeting tomorrow to refine that. You got to have those elements for citation authority, so that there's a violation of law. But there's a lot of things in there that should not be violations of law if we choose to do them. It's out of the discretion of the board to even do them, and that's not appropriate, so we're going to be stripping it down. We may even find that the cleanest thing to do is to repeal the park ordinance and replace it with an ordinance that really represents what the parks need to be governed by. So those are things that we're working on.
Yeah, because there have been a lot of changes made in the...
Tons of
not only in the function of the park or the purpose of the park, but how it operates.
Yes.
So
I'm going to the AOC meeting and Salem on Monday. Be going up Sunday night for that. So there's been some developments for public land. We're in a different position than we used to be with the Association of ONC Counties and representing that perspective at the table. And those elements of transition are not over. We'll need to talk in executive session about the element of the option of filing a stay on the implementation of the new RMP, Resource Management Plan, and we'll talk about the positives and negatives of doing something like that. So that meeting is coming up on the 23rd of September, the ONC meeting, the annual meeting in December. We need to register. I think we've got three spots registering for the AOC conference, regardless of election outcomes and stuff, so we'll have a spot for that. And then it's just a number of things that we're working on. The property projects are going well, but we talked about a lot of those with Brian, of things that I'd like to see us get kind of in the queue and start moving towards. Evidence is a big one, divesting ourselves of that property and getting it more. Or I feel badly for her being in this spot that's not conducive. But quit trying to make good of a bad situation, put her in the right, design it, make it work for her, for the officers, and go out there for the courts. It's not...
Contributing problem is that there's one person to run all that stuff.
How much better would it be if it was like it was designed for evidence as opposed to her trying to...
Or organized, where instead of having to go to four different locations on the floor, you know, this locker over there, and so on.
Yeah.
And you got up there, too, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's a problem.
So, yeah, I think things are going pretty well. I'm, from a property perspective and county liability, diligently watching this Paradise Ranch development and the timeline of that. Wally and I are in close conversations, so we're meeting occasionally as the assessor, the tax collector, the legal counsel and stuff, just trying to track this ever-evolving. There's deadlines and timelines for things. But it should all
where,
come.
Where is that right now?
Well, there's. I don't think this is private, so there's a there's an option to purchase the couple of tax lots for the golf course at Paradise Ranch. That will expire mid-December. The taxes on that are required to be paid by mid-January, and so that's the timeline of when it would come into the county's ownership is mid-January. So if those taxes are not paid, 15.
Is that the lot? Just the golf course lot?
Just the golf course lot. So, Rogue River Mortgage and Washington Federal has a very cloudy ownership of those buildings. The main house.
The main part.
They technically aren't the listed ownership by the tax collector because of the mess in the foreclosure process. I don't know all the specifics. All that I know is that they don't own it according to us, but they paid the taxes. So the only elements that are back taxes, there's two maybe residential lots that Rogue River Mortgage didn't pay up on, maybe one or two. And then the golf course, and that's like two or three. That's like three or four lots. But that's owned by Steve Osmond. That's all public information.
That's all, those are all public
back,
data.
Back on there. Yeah, that we published.
So does the golf course property connect to the airport, abut to the airport?
Mm-hmm.
It does. What about any of the residences? Do any of those abut
there? There would be some, I think.
Okay.
Well, and
the main
be...
buildings don't, as I remember.
No.
Okay. It's been a while since I've been out there, but I didn't think the main buildings did.
No. I mean, they do collectively.
Collectively, but as to actually sharing a lot line.
No.
Okay.
So that's an ongoing kind of a thing to follow. So, and Jenny and I have our first meeting coming up at the end of the month on the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. Jackson County's making good inroads. They're invited to the executive committee membership. We will hear a report from the contractor on what do we have, kind of a jumbled up product, where we need to go, and then what's the direction that we're going to provide them to refine that. So that's going really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
We're pleased with the preliminary draft report. That's good. So.
Well, she asked me the other day, too, speaking of emergency, I know Commissioner Heck was the contact person for the fire standards, and she asked if I wanted to do that or for you to continue, and I thought it might be better if you continued to be the contact person for the
I
fire standards.
I got that email.
Okay, good. And because, you know, I remember when we decided to have them take it and work it over with the fire chiefs, you were working with them at that time, so I thought it might be best if it just stayed that way. And they anticipate getting it finished by the end of the year, but wanted to make sure that continued.
Well, we got a report of the the Dimmitt campus, the viability of that. We have a draft report from the contractor that we hired to do that, and we'll be working that into the consolidated marketing plan. Mr. Ilse has some ideas of different ways to go now that we know there is a viability, that the capacity to pay for senior citizens on the long term is a factor. So but what kind of a facility do you put together? That's something that the market is concerned about. So just the rising cost of this and people's nest eggs not being what they thought they were going to be, there's a nexus of capacity to pay for those senior housing types of things. We have the contractor in the queue, or an RFQ has been put out for the public works evaluation.
It's in the queue.
We're working on that. We'd like to have that completed by this fall so that we have, when we're developing the budget for public works and long-term strategy, because we're going to have to redo one with this system transportation improvement plan, putting that in the queue and having it factored in. We're doing 25% of our maintenance requirement, and that's not sustainable. So we're going to have to pick a plan of, like, are we divesting ourselves in maintaining some of these county roads? Are they reverting back to gravel? Or are we, you know, got to live within our means? So stuff like that. Go to Klamath County Route. And I think that's probably most of the stuff. Codification project should be done by this year. It's legal. Right? That's the biggest joke.
Well, I'm glad you said by this year. I thought you were going to by the end of the month or something.
No.
In the year. The economic development.
There's meeting material over the Christmas holiday.
The economic development plan with the city. We got the final draft on that. I haven't read it yet. It just came in yesterday. Mm. Or it's on my email yesterday. So I can forward it to you if you want.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And not quite finalized in binding form, but...
And I did get a copy of the standards that the fire, so I think at some point when we're...
Did you get a copy of that?
I did, when we're, like, mm-hmm. ready to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We've got today this regional pilot project conversation, and
I've
gone through both of what Mr. Converse has proposed and then with Mr. Hart. It's a worthy cause from a standpoint, but at the end of the day, it just... I don't think we're going to get much out of this project.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody's expectations have come to that conclusion. Could we have gotten something had we had less than three different planning staff directors in the time frame of 2012? Probably. But the pie in the sky ideas are not practical. But we can achieve them if we break them up. Like the Fairwinter Range one, an intermediary zone, we can do those on our own. We don't have to do those through this project.
We don't have to do it through that. I don't know if that was actually, I know you can question the intent for even going forward with that, but from a legislative point of view.
We've got some positives, mm-hmm. but it's not meeting with the intent of the governor.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that meeting was scheduled, and I wasn't, my phone is not syncing up with me, so it looked as though I was free. I'm missing a lunch meeting today with the state director of BLM in Eugene that I probably should have attended. However, this is the second interim director we've had for 90 days or 120 days, so the efficacy of driving all the way up there to have a conversation with them.
The interim director?
ONC is well represented with Rocky, Tony Hyde, and Tim Freeman, but as the vice president of that association, I probably should have attended that. It's just, I think I need to work that kink out on myself so that if I'm not...
My effort was doing that. I had to get another phone. It got where it just wasn't working, right?
Well, yeah, we had to
reprogram it.
How to reset it.
Oh, great.
So yeah. We'll try it after the meeting.
You really, because the
ladies and saying, well, yeah. You're obviously open and free for it.
Yeah.
Well, I've had that. I put it in myself. It didn't go through my computer.
That was the problem.
I know. So, but thank you, actually. It was a good excuse.
Okay, any other liaison updates or matters from commissioners? And I'll have to take up those little airplane things with Larry. He'll need the motors on them next year.
They fly good, then.
Oh, Lord, that kid had so much
Okay, no further business. We are adjourned at 11:14.